The funny thing is that you never know how your body's going to respond to different things. I'm not a pilot, I'm a civilian. And then we came back to Houston and we just started flying the T-38. It's a supersonic jet. You're operating this jet in a high threat environment. So I didn't know what to expect. When you get in the backseat of the T-38 for the first time, you forget all of that. And you're just amazed to be there. Your body's going crazy because you've got all these pressure changes. Your ears are popping and your stomach's doing loops on top of it as well. And so going supersonic and actually sitting in the back seat and trying to fly the plane yourself is just a whole different world. Only because you're going at much faster speeds. You have to learn to control the jet at those speeds. So you can do all the practice and all the training, but when your rubber meets the road and you're actually flying and you're doing this, that kid-like nature comes out because it's so exciting and it's I cannot describe how beautiful it was to kind of fly that high standard. To me, it was unreal. It was a crazy, beautiful experience.
As of 2020, Jeanette Epps is one of only 48 active astronauts at NASA. It took her 32 long years to be amongst a tiny group of only 370 astronauts in history. How did she accomplish this? Simple. With a great deal of perseverance. Never giving up or letting obstacles in her way bring her down. In 2018, she was about to become the first African-American to live aboard the International Space Station. But out of nowhere, she was replaced from the mission and remained grounded. The reason for Jeanette's removal was never stated. Nevertheless, she persisted.
You're kind of shocked. You're kind of devastated. You've got to figure out a way forward. Instead of overreacting, and you know, the reason I laugh is because I can only imagine how different things would be right now if I had overreacted and left a job that I loved.
Jeanette could have left NASA, and without a question, she would have continued her remarkable walk of life elsewhere. But she stayed, persevered, and now she's part of Artemis, a program set to send a group of astronauts to live on the moon by 2024, making her a strong candidate to be the very first woman ever to set foot on the surface of the moon. I'm Niklas Jansen, co-founder of Blinkist, and this is State of Mind. Join me on discovering some of the most fascinating and accomplished people in the world. We'll explore how the amazing skills, the attitudes, the habits, and victories are a product of their state of mind. In this episode, recorded in June 2019, Jeanette Epps shared with us the story of her breathtaking career. She addressed one of the questions we all have about how to set impossible goals and how to actually accomplish them. She explained that failures, no matter how big or small, are nothing but very natural setbacks towards the road to success, and that perseverance might just be the most powerful tool to lead a wonderful and successful life.
My story is about an ordinary girl who wanted to do big things. We weren't wealthy growing up. Janet and I, we're the youngest of seven. I'm number six and Janet's number seven. So if you call me Janet or Jeanette, I'll answer.
It was the 1970s. Luberta Epps raised her twin daughters in Syracuse, New York, one of the 10 poorest cities in the United States.
as we were growing up, all of my other brothers and sisters were moving out of the house. So it was really like, once my parents divorced, it was really like it was just my mom, Janet, and me most of the time. I think part of our upbringing was weird because my mother was very strict with the two of us, and more so than with my older brothers and sisters. And partly because she saw how they got out of hand, and she really wanted to keep us closer and keep an eye on us.
Being home most of the time, Janet and Jeanette had to find alternative ways to keep themselves entertained.
We were watching a lot of science fiction type movies and shows like that on public television, Nova and things like that.
Nova, each week, a science adventure.
We were also reading just different books and different stories of things that were happening, and we were introduced to a lot of new ideas.
Some of these ideas sparked Jeanette's curiosity and eventually turned into her first little project as a young engineer.
So we were tinkering with things, we were trying to build things. We didn't have a shower in our bedroom, and so we wanted to try to build a contraption in the closet and make it into like a closet shower kind of thing. We had all this tubing and these milk jugs and all these different things routed from the bathroom into our closet. And so we had weird construction things like that. When I say we did weird things, it was very different than what other kids were doing in the neighborhood. My mom was very bizarre in that she just encouraged whatever we wanted to do, even though she probably thought it was very strange, very bizarre, and she just enabled us to do everything. You know, Janet and I, you know, there were two of us together. So it is nice having a twin because you always have a permanent friend.
Having a twin sister gave Janet a permanent friend, but also a friendly rival. Even in school, the two girls were eager to keep up good grades.
My twin sister and I, we both had this passion we love math and science. We competed against ourselves and to see how well we can do, but it was a friendly rivalry. And so Jana and I really didn't compete in the conventional sense. But I would feel bad if Janet came home and said, hey, look at how well I did. And I'm like, well, I got to bring home a bad report card. I wouldn't want to feel that. If Janet was doing well, I have to make sure my grades are up there too. So we both studied quite a bit. When Janet and I were about 9 years old, my older brother came home from college, and you know, being the good little girls that we were, we wanted to show him our grades, and you know, and we wanted him to be proud of us. So he looks at our grades and he goes, "Wow, you guys are doing really, really well. You can maybe you can become an astronaut or maybe an aerospace engineer." And for some reason, when he said that to me, I thought they'll never pick me to be an astronaut. But I can definitely become an aerospace engineer.
Jeanette loved the idea of becoming a space traveler. But how do you become an astronaut? How do you accomplish a goal that is so impossible to reach? Only very few people are selected to become NASA astronauts, let alone a little African-American girl from Syracuse.
I'm very fortunate, I think, my twin sister and I, is that in that my mother never discouraged us from doing anything. She never said, well, you can't do that because you're a girl. You can't do that because, heck, you're a brown girl. You can't do that. No, in fact, she just encouraged us to be who we are.
At 9 years old, Jeanette already knew that it was very hard to become an astronaut. The question is, how hard is it to actually be picked as an astronaut?
It's very, very difficult mathematically to be picked to be an astronaut. You know, there have been about, I think the number is up to about 400 people that have ever been picked to be professional astronauts. So 400 in the history of the space programs.
Daniel Tenney is a retired NASA astronaut.
I spent 16 years at NASA. I have two space flights, and has been a wonderful chapter in my life.
In its 60 years, NASA has only picked 370 astronauts.
At NASA, you know, we get, again, out of 20,000 applicants or so, around 20,000, you know, we'll interview 100, which is a 0.5%. And then from that, we'll pick 10, maybe 20. And so that's, you know, 10% of that, 1 in 1,000 or so.
And so I said, see, that's kind of like one of those dreams that, you know, it's so hard to obtain. You know, astronaut is just something that I thought was just unobtainium. It's something you just cannot get to. But, you know, I can definitely become an aerospace engineer and make my career whatever I wanted it to be. You know, with hard work, I can become whatever I wanted. Being selected to be an astronaut was something different in my mind.
Jeanette knew from the very beginning that becoming an astronaut was not only a matter of hard work and perseverance. It also involved a lot of luck. Nevertheless, she kept on going, giving her very best at every step of the way.
Jeanette certainly understands the importance of breaking things into steps.
That is the senior space correspondent for Business Insider, Dave Mosher.
To get there, you have to break it down into discrete, achievable steps. Like, you got to break your big goal down into little tiny goals. That's how you get there. And Jeanette is definitely a preacher of that. I think any astronaut is. A goal is sort of a mental wrestling match with yourself. And the way you win is you create a strategy. And that strategy is to map it out and, you know, figure out what you're going to do and when and how you're going to do it and check those boxes.
Checking one of those boxes was getting into college and then receiving a PhD at the University of Maryland, one of the top engineering schools in the world. And then landing her very first job.
I do remember being at Ford Motor Company, and these guys were trying to figure out how to use piezoelectrics to reduce vibration into the car.
Here was this young woman, fresh out of university, telling everyone,
well, what you're doing is never going to work. So I ended up helping to design a different type of actuator so that as you're driving along the road, as vibrations come into the arm, it's an anti-vibration. And so you want to damp it out before it gets to the seat or make it really small so that the person driving barely feels it.
In the 2 years she worked at Ford, Jeanette received both a provisional patent and a US patent for her research and development. Little did she know that shortly after, her skills would take her to a completely different line of work.
It's well known that I worked at the CIA and I learned a lot about being very, very technical, but also operational, like a fighter pilot would be.
Launched the opening salvo of Operation Iraqi Freedom.
Jeanette worked for the CIA for 7 years as a technical intelligence officer. In that time, she was recognized with multiple exceptional performance awards, in part also due to her deployments in Iraq.
And then sometime in 2007, one of the astronauts, Leland Melvin, called me and said,
hey, we're accepting applications and you should think about applying.
And so when he called me, I was at a point in my career where I said, well, you know, I've done this, this, and that. I said, well, maybe I can be competitive. And plus, I was getting a little older, and I said, this may be my last chance to ever apply, so I need to do it. And it was at that moment that I decided I'm just going to go for it.
Jeanette applied to astronaut candidate training and was selected as one of 14 members of the 20th NASA astronaut class. For the next 3 years, Jeannette would have to prove if she really is astronaut material.
The irony of being chosen to be an astronaut is nobody goes to astronaut school and learns how to be an astronaut and progresses up the astronaut management chain. What you do is you go out and you find a career that's completely separate. You're an emergency room doctor, you're an engineer, you're a scientist, you're a researcher, and you really excel in that. And that makes you stick out in your particular field.
And without a doubt, Jeannette had stood out in many fields. She excelled in math and science at the highest level, received 2 US patents at Ford. And then she spent 7 years at the CIA, learning how to handle extremely tough situations.
She's really driven, she studies really hard, she works hard, she wants to do well, she wants to perform well.
And I think being an astronaut, because you kind of have to be a jack of all trades.
But also her human qualities and her kindness played a big role in her being selected by the astronaut corps.
She's friendly and warm and comfortable to talk to.
Because in the end, it all comes down to one thing.
Can I live and trust this person in a tin can for 6 months, maybe a year, maybe longer? And so that's everything you want in an astronaut. Jeannette and I shared an office, and she was new when I was leaving. So we have about a year of crossover, and I was sort of a mentor to her. I mean, she and I worked on refining her skills on some things.
Jeannette might have acquired plenty of technical and operational skills throughout her life. But astronauts also need strong physical endurance. So they have to endure extremely hard training.
For me, the most challenging definitely was the spacewalk training that we do. We practice spacewalks here in Houston in a pool that is 40 feet deep. It's 100 feet wide and 200 feet long. And what they have is a mock-up of the main truss of the International Space Station where a majority of the spacewalks would take place. The spacesuit weighs about 310 pounds. You have a bunch of divers help stuff you into the suit, and then they lower you into the water for about 6 hours. And this, because the suit is heavy, you're underwater, the suit starts taking on water and it becomes heavier and heavier. So it becomes a mental and a physical challenge, because as you're doing the spacewalk, after 4 hours, you become exhausted. But you can't stop. You have to stay mentally focused, to focus on the task, because you don't want to make any mistakes and you want to complete the job. I did NEMO, the NASA Extreme Environment Mission Operations, where you live underwater for 9 days.
NASA looked around for ways to we can train people without having to send them to space. And one of the things they found was a research facility off of Florida that's underwater, under 60 feet of water, and it's an underwater laboratory. So we've been sending people, crews, down to this underwater laboratory. So you're stuck like you are in space. And so mentally, you have to commit to being down there for 8 days or 2 weeks or however long they go. Again, all these sort of experiences that are high stress, very uncomfortable opportunities to learn how to work with other people, how to be a member of the team.
Finally, in 2011, Jeannette graduated as a NASA astronaut with her 13 colleagues.
I had to spend 11 and a half years after I graduated from high school in school to earn all these degrees. And then even after that, I worked 10 years after that, and then I applied, and now I'm at NASA. The thing that I like to put forward is that consistency over time is better for you than all of this stress of, hey, I gotta be here by the time I'm 25. By the time I'm 25, I wanna go on for this. The big thing for me is that being prepared for whatever your end goal is. And so whenever the opportunity pops up, you're already ready. I do think that kids are pressured more nowadays to be ambitious almost in a negative way, rather than really working on and honing and sharpening your skills and consistency over time. This whole idea of staying in school for 11 and a half years is like, whoa, why would you do that? You know, a lot of students don't get that at all until, you know, you tell them. It's like, well, nothing happens overnight. You know, it's just a lot of little things that you complete and you're successful at. A lot of those little things over time is what makes you successful.
In May 2018, Janet Epps would finally lift off the Earth's atmosphere and become the first African-American to live aboard the International Space Station.
Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, we have ignition.
At 94%.
All engines are running. We have liftoff. We have liftoff at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Janet Epps was going to be the first African-American crew member on the International Space Station. According to Gizmodo.com, Epps was slated to be a flight engineer on board the station in a mission scheduled to launch in May. She will instead assume duties in the astronaut office.
Out of the blue, Janet was replaced by Serena Onion Chancellor. This was a devastating blow for Janet, who had worked very hard for that moment. And especially because until now, she hasn't been given any reason why she was removed from the mission.
Initially, like anyone else, you're kind of shocked. You're kind of devastated. You got to figure out a way forward. You got to bring yourself back in and really think about what's really happening. And because if you let the emotions run with you, things that didn't happen will start popping up and you're like, you won't have the real story.
Janet didn't want to waste time and energy speculating and reacting from an emotional standpoint. So she took a step back and took a look at the larger picture.
I kind of had this mindset that I had to recognize what happened, recognize my part in it, if I did have any part in it, and then go forward. And this whole idea that I didn't do anything wrong, I did the work, I know how things work around here, I'm gonna stand my ground. You know, I have no control and I didn't understand what was happening, so it would be kind of foolish for me to react rather than be proactive. I did everything right. And so because of that, choosing how I'm gonna respond, I'm gonna be very methodical in how I go about this. And you know, social media is out there, that can just make things 10 times worse. I want to continue to work in space. And instead of overreacting, and you know, the reason I laugh is because I can only imagine how different things would be right now if I had overreacted and left a job that I loved. I'm still here flying, still getting in the pool, still doing the things that I love.
Janet realized that being taken off that mission in 2018 was nothing more than just one more of countless obstacles along the way. As painful as it was.
But, you know, that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. That doesn't mean it isn't extremely disappointing.
That is Dave Musher again.
I mean, imagine if someone told you that you won the lottery and then said, actually, we're going to take that $100 million back. I mean, that's about what it takes. That's about the cost it takes to get a person to and from space these days, is about $90 to $100 million. And so, just imagine that gut punch. But you're in a very small pool, and you know that you have a very good chance of winning the lottery later. So do you sort of say, you know, forget this lottery, I'm out of it, I quit? Or do you stay around? You stick around. because you want that chance to win $100 million.
Even though she hasn't gone to space, she's exactly where she wants to be. She realized that it wouldn't make any sense quitting or throwing everything out the window on a gut feeling.
One of the big things is I want kids, especially younger kids, to know that, you know, you can plan a career and things sometimes don't go well, but how you handle it is the most important thing, because I've seen people handle things in just a very odd way. And when things go wrong, because things aren't always going to go your way, and how you handle that is going to be a testament to your character in the future.
Jeanette has realized that through all of her ups and downs, she's taking on a whole new role, an endeavor that may be bigger than herself.
I have a responsibility, and I have to be the person as a role model for me, because I don't have any kids. My nieces are like, especially my twin sister, her kids are like my kids. And for them, you know, to be an example for them is the other thing. And so it's a role model and a certain amount of responsibility that I feel like I have to put forward every day.
I just felt honored to be related to her. I do feel a greater sense of pride because I am related to her. I think it's just amazing. It's almost like, you know, you're related to Superwoman or Wonder Woman, right? I just think she's amazing.
That's Jeanette's cousin, Marcy Allen.
I'm known as an activist. I consult politicians. I've consulted several politicians over the years. Just knowing that she will be a part of history and that she is a hero, or a shero, as we call them, for so many African-American girls who are in math and science and dream of being in outer space, or, you know, she's just a hero. And I think she represents that for young girls despite their color and racial barriers.
I really don't feel like I gave up anything to become an astronaut. I just think that my life has become more full in doing this. And so whatever people may think that I've given up, I've gained a lot more.
Jeanette could have left NASA, and without a question, she would have continued her remarkable walk of life elsewhere. But she stayed. Even though she was never giving a reason why she was replaced in 2018. Nevertheless, she stayed and persisted.
I don't know if that's brave or not, or just stubborn. I couldn't imagine what else I would be doing at this point in time. This, to me, is the best thing that I could possibly be doing with my life.
A few months after her interview with Jeanette, it was announced that she will be part of Artemis, a program set to land a group of astronauts on the surface of the moon by 2024.
The really big idea here is to establish a permanent base on the moon.
To go start building stuff on the moon so we can start living there.
I don't know how NASA's going to pick them, but yeah, if I was picking somebody, I would like to have Jeanette Epps by my side, because she has some of the training, some of the knowledge that you're going to want to have when you are trying to build a base on the moon.
You know, just being one of the people that get to visit the moon would be a privilege and an honor. So being the first, I never like being the first, because there's a huge amount of responsibility for that. And I'm willing to take on that responsibility, but you kind of just go and do your job and enjoy it, really, really enjoy it.
Who knows? Maybe Jeanette will not only fulfill her journey of visiting outer space, but forever be known as the first woman to ever set foot on the surface of the moon.
All engines are running.
What is it that you love to do? The drive comes from your love for what you're doing. If you're doing what you love and you're contributing and you're gaining new knowledge on what you love and you're moving forward in consistency over time, you're going to be successful.
New episodes of State of Mind airing every Wednesday. State of Mind is a production of Invisible Media and Blinkist. If you want to learn more about how to set impossible goals and how to accomplish them, check out our episode with Steffi Cohen, the strongest female powerlifter in history. Thank you, Janet Epps, for taking the time to talk to us. Also, big thank you to astronaut Daniel Tenney and reporter Dave Mosher. If you like what we're doing here, please take a moment and support us by subscribing to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you get your podcasts. Got Instagram? Follow Invisible Media for all the latest news and a behind-the-scenes look at the making of the show. The handle is @TheInvisibleMedia. I'm Niklas Janssen, your host, and this is State of Mind.